Has the devil ever told you that God wouldn't heal you? Has the devil ever told you that it's God's will for you to be sick? Have you ever prayed and prayed and couldn't find God and couldn't touch God, and it seemed like God was a million miles away? Doctors had gave you up and hospitals had gave you up and nurses knew that you was going to die. You couldn't understand what to do. Thank God Jesus is standing right by your side tonight. I don't care how big that cancer is. I don't care how long them eyes have been blind. I don't care how long them legs have been stiff from that old arthritis. I don't care how long you've been paralyzed. Jesus is here to heal you. He's here to set you free. He's here to make you well. He said, Lo, I am with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Say amen. I'm reading from the 13th chapter of Hebrews and the 8th verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same. The same. The never-changing Christ. Some people say Jesus used to be full of pity and compassion. Jesus used to heal the sick. Jesus used to open the eyes of the blind. Jesus used to cause the lame to walk. But didn't you know, Brother Coe, he's quit. My Bible said that Jesus Christ never quits. My Bible said he never sleeps. My Bible said his arm is not short and his ear is not deaf, that he cannot hear your cry and heal your body. My Bible said if he was a healer of the sick yesterday, he's a healer of the sick today. And thank God he'll be a healer of the sick tomorrow. If he was a compassionate Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, that opened the eyes of the blind, caused the lame to walk and the deaf to hear, that same compassionate, loving Christ is walking these aisles tonight to smite that old cancer, to heal that old tumor, to open them blind eyes, to cause you to leave that wheelchair, to give you the desires of your heart, because the Bible said he's the same. He's the same. He doesn't change. He's here tonight. You believe that? Say amen. Somebody said, Brother Coe, where does healing begin in the Bible and where does it end? Healing begins away over in Genesis 20 and 17, where Abraham prayed for Abimelech. And the Bible said that God healed Abimelech, God healed his wife, and God healed his servants. And the Bible said they began to bear children. Away back over in Genesis 20 and 17, healing begins. And brother, it runs all the way through the Bible like a scarlet thread, clear down to the millennial reign, when even the leaves on the trees are going to have healing for the nations. I believe that there's not going to be any blind, any lame, any sick, any cripples going to enter heaven. God's going to heal his whole church before he comes after them again. Do you believe that? Say amen. Healing is the word of God. The psalmist David got so happy he didn't know which one to praise God for first. He said, Who forgiveth all of my iniquities? And God, you don't only forgive my sins, but you heal all of my diseases. I've heard a lot of people say in these last days, I believe that Jesus can heal. I believe Jesus answers prayer. But I don't believe in mass healing services. I don't believe that Jesus wants you to put on a big revival campaign under a tent and pray for thousands of people. I believe that God can hear prayer, but not mass healing services. There's a lot of old dry hide preachers in the city of Washington, D.C. that would do everything they can to bind people out of this meeting. You know why? They're afraid they'll get their eyes open to the truth of God's word. One preacher told me in the city of Washington, the reason I don't come to your revival meetings is because I don't want to preach what you preach. I said, brother, do you believe I preach the Bible? He said, I know you do. But he said, I'm making a good living. I have my degree. And he said, I'm satisfied and my people are satisfied. And I don't want to get them all stirred up into something that they'll be expecting too much out of me. Brother, you're not satisfied. You're backslid. I said, you're backslid. You're not satisfied. You've just lost God out of your heart and life. God still heals the masses. And the word of God I find where God led 2 million Israelites out of Egyptian bondage afoot. They must have had a wonderful healing service before they left Egypt. To transport a city of 2 million today, you'd have to get every crutch and every wheelchair and every cane in the country together to get them out of the city. But thank God, God healed them. You know what I like to think they were healed? When they eat the Passover. When they eat the bread. Because the bread is a healing for the God's children. And I believe as they sit around that table and eat that bread, God healed them Israelites and they walked out of Egyptian bondage afoot. If you don't believe in mass healing services, brother, I don't know what you'd have done if you'd have been there when God led the children of Israel out. I don't know what you'd have done if you'd have been there when Elijah opened the eyes of a blind army. And thank God if Elijah opened the eyes of a blind army, God can still do it again today. If God done it once, he'll do it again. I said, if he ever done it once, he'll do it again. I don't know what you'd have done if you'd have been there when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and whoever looked upon that serpent lived. Brother, that was a mass healing service. I don't know what you'd have done if you'd have been in Jesus' day when he walked the shores of Galilee and opened the eyes of the blind and caused the lame to leap for joy and caused the deaf to hear and caused them to praise and magnify his name. And my Bible said that everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd. And brother, everywhere he went, that there was a crowd. He went about healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, and causing the lame to walk. And brother, if he ever done it once, he can still do it again. For he's the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same tomorrow as he is today. Do you believe that? Say amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what you'd have done if you'd lived in John Wesley's day, the founder of the Wesley Methodist Church, who prayed for the sick, and God opened the eyes of the blind and caused the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. In volume one of A. Bose's book, some of you old doubt and skeptical preachers, put this down and go look it up. In volume one of A. Bose's book, found in the library, is this statement. John Wesley said, I believe that God can open the eyes of the blind and cause the lame to walk and the deaf to hear, where men will take faith in God and stand on the word of God and pray according to the faith that God has gave them. God will do the things that he said he'd do because he is a never-changing God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe he's the same. I'll never forget the first healing service I ever had. I read the Bible. God healed me. I saw God heal my sister who was given up to die. And I said, God, if you can heal one person in a room to themselves, why can't you heal a multitude at one time? God said, I can. I began to read the Bible, and I thought I'd have a healing service. So I got up in the church that night, and I announced. I said, everybody come tomorrow night. I said, the blind's going to see, and the lame's going to walk, and the deaf's going to hear. Man, the pastor's eyes like to bulged out of his head, and the whole congregation's mouth fell open. I said, you can sit there and look at me if you want to, but I said, I heard from God, and he told me he was going to heal the sick. When church was over, I went over to the parsonage, and the pastor said, do you realize what you said tonight? I said, yeah. He said, you said. I said, I know what I said. I said, the blind was going to see, the lame was going to walk, and the deaf was going to hear. But he said, supposing they don't. But I said, they will. But he said, yes, but supposing they don't. But I said, yes, but they will. Yeah, but he said, if they don't, where's our church going to be? I said, bless God, they will. And then where's your church going to be? Hallelujah. Brother, I believe if he spoke it, he'll do what he said he'd do. Brother, I believe if he said, I'm the same today, the same tomorrow, and the same the day after tomorrow, I believe he is the same, and he'll do the things he said he'd do. Do you believe that? Say amen. So the next night, the church was packed out. People were standing in the yard and leaning in the windows. Some of you preachers that want to fill your old empty churches. Amen. I said amen. Have a healing service. But don't just have a healing service just to fill your church. Have a healing service because you've got compassion on the sick and the suffering. If you have one just to fill your church, it'll be the deadest thing you ever got a hold of. How many believe that? Say amen. That night the thing was packed out. People standing everywhere. And I got up and I formed a healing line. And everything was going fine because that was way back in 1945, right after I got out of the Army. And people hadn't heard too much about big mass healing services. And so I didn't have too many blind people out or too many cripples out. Matter of fact, I didn't see any in the line. And I was praying for them. They had headaches and toe aches and back aches and leg aches, and everything was going good until I looked up and here come a blind woman. And I said, uh-oh, God, look what's coming. What am I going to do with her? I thought, boy, this thing was just going good till she showed up. What'd she have to get here for? I'll never forget, I said to that woman, I said, you go clear the tail end of the line. And I put her clear on the tail end of the line. Somebody said, what for? I was hoping by the time she got to me that I'd have enough faith to pray for her that God would heal her. And I wasn't praying for the person that I had my hands on. Every one I prayed for, I was saying, look, Lord, that woman's one closer. She's on the tail end of this thing. And there's no end of the line to send her back to anymore. She's on the end. When she got about three from me, I said, Lord, look at her. She's only three away now. God spoke to me and said, Jack Coe, whatever made you think you could open the eyes of the blind anyhow? And I said, God, I can't, and I know I can't. He said, what are you trying for then? But I said, God, he said, what did I tell you to do? I said, God, you told me to anoint with oil and pray. You said the prayer of faith that saved the sick and the Lord would raise them up. He said, why don't you do what you're supposed to do, and I'll guarantee you I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Hallelujah! Brother, I felt like crawling under a bench. But that woman stepped up to me finally to be prayed for, and I laid my hands on her, and I prayed for her, and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command this woman's eyes to open. Amen. I turned around to her, and I said, can you see? She said, I see something very dimly in the back of the building. Seems like something's moving. That scripture come to me where Jesus prayed for a blind man and said, can you see? And the man said, I see men like trees walking. And Jesus prayed again, and that blind man said, I can see. I can see. I can see. And I prayed again for that woman, and when I got off my hands off her eyes that time, she began to jump up and down and hit her legs with her hands and holler, I can see. 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 Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God wants us to be moved with pity and compassion. God does not heal the sick to prove it to a bunch of doubting skeptics that he can heal. God don't heal the sick to prove it to a bunch of newspaper reporters that he can heal. God heals the sick because he loves the sick. And he don't want you to suffer, and he don't want you to be sick. And he heals you tonight. Because he's tired of you sick and suffering in pain in your body. Do you believe it? Say amen. Hallelujah. Brother, what he done once, he can do again. I said he can do again. Thank God he will do it again. If he ever done it once, he will do it again. Somebody said, I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. I have. I was in Dallas, Texas, preaching a camp meeting. Woman came to the back of the platform and said, come quick, Brother Cole, there's a baby out here in the car dead. God said, go pray for it. I don't believe God wants you to pray for everybody that's dead. Jesus didn't raise all the dead in his day. I said, Jesus didn't raise all the dead in his day. Thank God if he ever raised the dead once, he can do it again. I said, he can do it again. And I went down off of the back of the platform and walked out to the car. There stood a woman in the car with a little baby with a stick stuck in its mouth, a paddle from the doctor's office. And I said to the woman, what was the matter with the baby? And she said, I took it to Chester Clinic. They said it had inward convulsions that it would never live. The doctor stuck this stick in the baby's mouth to keep the baby from biting and chewing its tongue. The baby was about 8 or 9 months old. And she said he stuck the stick in his mouth and said he'd be dead in 30 minutes. She said, I left the clinic to start home with the baby. The baby died on the way home. She said, I brought her to this tent. Because I'd heard about what you could do. She said, we belong to the Baptist church. I looked at the mother. I didn't pray for the baby then. I looked at the baby. The baby was stiff and cold. That was about an hour after the baby had died. By the time she got to the tent and got me off of the platform. I looked at the mother and I said, take the baby home. Put the baby in bed just like you always do. Get down by the side of the baby's bed and thank God and give God that baby solely to him and ask him to bring the baby back to life. And 30 minutes after you put the baby to bed, the baby will be alive. The mother didn't question me. If that would have been a lot of people, they'd have said, oh, I don't believe it. That's a bunch of hooey. That's right. That's what they'd have said. They'd have took the baby off. Home and made funeral arrangements. But the mother never called the undertaker. She took the baby home, put it in its bed, and covered it up. Got down by the side of the baby's bed and said, God, I give this baby to you. It's yours from this day on. Amen. She said a voice spoke to her and said, but that baby's dead. But another voice said, the man of God said it would live again in 30 minutes. She said, I raised my hands and praised God. And in 30 minutes' time, I heard the baby wake up and begin to cry. I walked into the side of the baby's bed, and the baby was up, sitting up in the bed. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. That woman goes to my church today. Her and her husband goes to my church. They live for God. They walk with God. Brother, what God done once, he'll do it again. I said, what Jesus has done once, he'll do it again. How many believe that? Say amen. There's not a place in the Bible that says Jesus would raise all the dead. But there's plenty of places in the Bible that said Jesus would heal all that was sick. The Bible said all that came to him was healed. As many as touched him was made whole. Who took away all my sins and all my diseases. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. God has promised to heal all. Do you believe it? Say amen. I said, do you believe it? Say amen. What he done once, he can do again. I said, what he done once, he can do again. He's the same God. I've heard a lot of people around this meeting say, oh, it's hypnotism. He just hypnotizes them. Well, I wonder who's hypnotizing all these people now and making them walk. Brother, a hypnotic cannot hypnotize any blind person to make them see. A hypnotic cannot hypnotize any lame person and make them walk. Brother, this is not hypnotism. This is the divine power of the living Christ moving and working in the world today. Brother, if this is hypnotism, sister, if this is hypnotism, I'd hypnotize some of your old drunken husbands and make them quit drinking. I'd send them home from the bars to their children and their family. Hallelujah. Brother, if it was hypnotism, I'd hypnotize some of the people over in the White House and some of them in the Capitol and make them close every bar and every beer joint and every hellhole in the country if it was hypnotism. It's not hypnotism, it's Jesus. I said it's Jesus. I know hypnotics that would give their bottom dollar to hypnotize the blind and have them see, the lame and have them walk, and the deaf and have them hear. They can't do it. A lot of people in Washington, D.C. call me the healer. I'm not a healer. I never claimed to be a healer. I couldn't heal a fly if I had a headache. There's only one healer, and his name's Jesus. I said, his name's Jesus. I only pray for the sick and God does the healing. I only say, Jesus, heal this man off of these crutches. Then Jesus says to the devil, you heard what my servant says, get your hands off her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I only lay my hands upon an old cancer and say, Jesus, heal this cancer. Jesus said, devil, you heard what my servant said. Get your hands off of that. Get going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you talk like an unlearned and ignorant man. I am. But I'm smart enough to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. God said he'd take the foolish and confound the wise. Amen. When they perceived that Peter was just a fisherman, Matthew was a tax collector, they said, we perceive that these are unlearned and ignorant men. But they said, we took note that they had been with Jesus. Ah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I may not have a PhD degree. I may not have a DD or a DONCY or any other kind of degree. But there's one thing I have got tonight, and that's Jesus Christ in my heart and life to ask him to do what I want him to do, and he'll do it for me, because he said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask anything you want and it shall be given unto you. Do you believe it? Say amen. Oh, glory to God. Somebody said, I know what it is. It's demon possession. Well, I'll tell you, if it's demon possession, the devil's been converted. Because a lot of people that get this thing quit smoking, quit drinking, pay up bad grocery bills, quit running around with somebody else's wife, go home to their own wife. Brother, if it's demon possession, the whole city of Washington needs to get demon possessed. Two old drunks in my tent meeting one night. One of them looked at the other one when people were shouting and being healed, and he staggered around and he said, we better get out of here. He said, this thing's of the devil. One of them other drunks staggered around, looked back at him and said, if it is, said, I wonder why me and you ain't got it. They even told Jesus the same thing. He said, they said, you open the eyes of the blind and cause the lame to walk because you're Beelzebub, the father of the devil. He said, can the devil be divided against the devil? He said, if the devil's divided against the devil, the house of the devil won't stand. Can the devil do good works? Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? Can the devil make the lame walk? Can the devil make deaf mute speak and hear? Jesus said to him, has it always been said that any man that could open the eyes of the blind, has it always been said that he was a prophet sent of God? Brother, I'll tell you, if this is demon possession, we sure praising the wrong fella. We sure are mixed up. Because ever since I got this thing, something within me says, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. I'll tell you, if it's demon possession, I sure am mixed up. It's not demon possession. It's Jesus. I said it's Jesus. I said it's Jesus. I said it's Jesus. Brother, that's what it is. This thing is not mental or psychic. Somebody said, oh, I don't know what it is. It's kind of spiritualism. Not anything of the kind. It's spirituality. Christ didn't say, I come to talk to the dead, but he said, I come to talk to the living. I come to give you life that you might have life more abundantly. Brother, he come to give life. Amen. Not make cables float around the room. Trumpets float around the room. I'll tell you what that is. That's the devil. I said, that's the devil. Amen. Not spiritualism. It's spirituality. Let me tell you one thing tonight. If God ever done it, he can do it again. I said, if he ever did it, he can do it again. He hasn't changed. He never will change. The Bible said he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. Thank God he'll be the same tomorrow. The same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee is walking these aisles tonight. I said, is walking these aisles tonight. He's here to smite your cancer. He's here to heal that tumor. Not through any work that man has done, lest man should boast. But by the power of God, you will be delivered tonight. Do you believe that? Say amen. Because he's the same. He's the same compassionate, tender, loving Christ as he was when he walked here on earth. I was holding a revival meeting, and I'm closing with this, in Santa Ana, California. Some man had run away from the TB sanitarium in Santa Ana and came to my big tent. I wasn't praying for the sick yet. I was preaching a three-day revival because the church was in such a backslidden condition that I felt like they needed a revival before I began to pray for the sick. And I began to fast and pray, and I said at the end of 3 days' time, I'd break my fast and pray for the sick. One day in the afternoon service, the telephone rang. I went to answer the phone, and a doctor on the phone said, is Mr. Harrison there?
I said, I'll find out. And I went out in the auditorium and asked if he was there, and he said his name was Harris. I went back and said, yes. A doctor said, listen, that man has TB in both lungs. He's ran off from the sanitarium. His TB is in a contagious state. He said he can give his wife and his children the same disease that he has. He said, unless that man gets back out to the sanitarium, I'm going to send the police and have him picked up and put in jail. I went back in and talked to Mr. Harrison and tried to get him to go back. He said, I am not going back to any hospital. He said, I'm not going to any sanitarium. I'm not going anywhere until you pray for me and God heals me. God told me to heal me, and I want to be healed before I go anywhere. I said, he's going to send the police and put you in jail. He said, what do I care? He said, I'd just as soon be in jail as be in the sanitarium. He said, I'm staying right here until easy come and get me, or else you pray for me and God heals me. I finally said to him, would you go back to the sanitarium if I promised you that tomorrow when I begin to pray for the sick, the day after tomorrow, I'll come and pray for you? He said, under those conditions, I will. I said, now I haven't started praying for the sick, and if I pray for you, then I'll have to pray for everybody that asks me. Because if I make allowances for one, I feel like I ought to do it for everybody. He said, I can understand that. I said, all right, you go back to the sanitarium and I'll come out and pray for you after I prayed for the sick tomorrow night. So he went back. Me and Brother Markey, the pastor, took him back out and let him out at the sanitarium. I prayed for the sick the next night, and God was give us a glorious healing service. The next day, me and Brother Markey got in the car and drove to the sanitarium. I asked for Mr. Harrison. They told me what ward he was on. I went to the ward he was on. When I got down there, they was playing cards. The radio was going full blast with Boogie Woogie. They were telling dirty jokes and smoking and everything in the world on the ward. I turned to Brother Markey, who was a pastor, and I said, I can't pray in all of this mess. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go ask that doctor to put him in a room by himself. He said, brother, if you know that doctor like I know him, you won't ask him nothing. He's got no time for holy rollers, and especially people that pray for the sick. I said, I'm going to go ask him anyhow, because I can't pray for the man in here and touch God. I went back and I asked the doctor, I said, would you put Mr. Harrison in a room to himself? He said, what for? I said, I want to pray for him. He said, why don't you preachers run your business and let us doctors run ours? I said, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. He said, look. And he put an x-ray on a machine, a glass there, and turned the light on. He said, what can you do for that? And he pointed to a hole in one of the man's lung about the size of a silver dollar in one of his lungs. What can you do for that? I said, nothing. What can you do for the other lung with the spots on it that's infected? I said, nothing. He said, there's only one thing that'll cure that man, and that's rest and treatment. And said, I don't believe he'll ever get well even with that, because he's too far gone. What can you do for TB? Tell me. I said, I can't do nothing. Well, he, what do you want to do then? I said, I know a fellow that can do something for him. Amen. Who? I said, Jesus. By that time, he was really mad. He looked at me and he said, would it make you feel any better if I put him in a room to himself? I said, yeah, me and Jesus both would feel better. He was just mad enough to do it. Now I was just happy enough to accept him. They went down and took a gurney and moved him into a room to himself, and I went in and prayed for him. And he looked up at me and said, thank you, Brother Cole. God's healed me. I felt him healed me. I walked on out of the hospital and of the sanitarium and went on back to preach the revival. For 10 days, every day, that doctor would come on the ward. Harrison would say, doctor, I'm healed. I want to go home to my wife and children. I got healed. First few mornings, he laughed at him, but he kept it up. Doctor wouldn't pay any attention to him, and finally, the 10th morning, the doctor stopped by the bed and said, "Look, I'm sick and tired of hearing you every morning saying you're healed. Now," he said, "I'm going to prove it to you and them couple of holy roller preachers that was here that you're just like you always was." Then he said, "I want you to shut your mouth and not bother me anymore." He said, "You go down and get a sputum test made." The old boy went to the laboratory and had a sputum test made. In about 2 hours' time, they sent back down to the nurse, or called back down and said, "Send him back again." He said to the nurse, "What's happened?" Nurse said, "I don't know." So they said that the sputum test didn't turn out right. He said, "How did it turn out?" She said, "I'm not allowed to tell you." He said, "You don't have to tell me. I already know. It was negative." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He went down and took another sputum test. They give him 3 that day. The doctor come in the ward the next morning and said, "Get ready for x-ray in the morning." He said, "What's the matter, doctor?" He said, "Never mind." He said, "How did the sputum test come out, doctor?" He said, "Negative." But he said, "That don't mean nothing." Said, "They do that sometimes." Said, "The x-ray will tell the tale." They took him to x-ray the next morning. Along that evening, the doctor called back and said, "Get him ready for x-ray again in the morning." Next morning, they took him in and they took 21 pictures of him. The following morning, the doctor called him in the office and said, "You can go home." And he said, "I want you to do something else. You get those 2 holy roller preachers and tell them to get themselves out here and heal everybody on this ward." Why, he said, "Doctor, they can't do it." He said, "Don't tell me they can't do it." He said, "Look," and he put the x-ray on and showed him the hole in his lung and showed him his other lung infected. He said, "Look at these x-rays. Not even a hole in your lung, not even a scar where the hole was. Don't tell me they can't do it." He said, "They'll be doing themselves a favor, God a favor, the state of California a favor, and everybody they heal a favor." But he said, "Doctor, you don't understand. They can't do it." "Why can't they do it?" He said, "Because the people on this ward won't believe. They won't believe that Jesus can do it. They won't let them pray for them and believe that they can heal them through the prayer of faith." About 3 nights later, it was my privilege to see that doctor come down the aisle, fall in the altars, and give his heart to God. Hallelujah. I said, "Hallelujah." I said, "Hallelujah." I said, "Hallelujah." Some of the best doctors in the world today freely admit that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of the best doctors in the world today believe in prayer. Some of the best doctors in the world today knows that when people have gone as far as they can go with man, that thank God there's a God in heaven that can hear and answer prayer. Thank God there's doctors in the world today that know that they can't heal people, but they know there's a Jesus that can heal the sick. Oh, yes, there is. Brother, it's a big discussion in the medical circles today, the healing meetings that are going on. And there's lots of doctors that are fighting against it. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of doctors that are believing in it. Dr. West came to my church in Dallas, Texas, dying with heart trouble, from South Texas, stood in front of my church, and he said, "I have to take a shot every day for my heart." He said, "I can't walk a block at a time." He said, "I'm dying with heart trouble." He said, "Preacher, I've heard of you." And he said, "I believe God can heal me." I laid my hands upon Dr. West. And God stretched forth his hand and I told that doctor to run. And that doctor began to run and run all over that church, praising and magnifying God. Went back and began to practice again. God completely healed him and gave him a brand new heart. Amen. I'm not talking about something foreign. A doctor from Hartford, Connecticut, and his wife came under this tent. His wife had a tumor and he had a cancer. I laid my hands upon that doctor and his wife right here on this very platform, and God stretched forth his hand and took that cancer off of his body. He reached and felt for it and could not find it. His wife felt for the tumor and couldn't find the tumor. That doctor stood up right down here and wrote me a check for $500. He said, I want this thing to reach people that need a touch from God. He said, I believe in God. Brother, I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's here tonight. Do you believe it? Say amen. Raise your hands and praise God together. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
If you're sick and suffering and need healing, I know your mind and heart was touched and enlightened. Your faith inspired to believe God to be no respecter of person. If you need healing, let me pray with you and let me pray for you. You may write to Juanita Cole, Box 8538, Dallas, Texas. We will look forward to hearing from you, and we will pray when we receive your letter. God bless you.